Dear friends in Christ, the text for this morning's sermon is the reading from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I would like to focus upon verses 16 through 18. Let me read them for you again. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I'm under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Dear friends in Christ, credibility in ministry. Where does our credibility lie? That being our reliability, our trustworthiness. Does it lie in our office as pastor? Does it lie in our ability to speak eloquently the Word of God? Or does it lie simply in preaching the gospel? This was a struggle Paul had with the Corinthians. They were wondering, is this guy really reliable? Is he the one we should listen to? Listen to his argumentation. Beginning of verse 9, he says, am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord? And aren't you my work in the Lord? And he goes on to say, my defense to those who examine me is this. Don't we have a right to eat and drink? Don't we have a right to take along a believing wife? And which soldier serves at his own expense? He continues saying, you too, even know the priests and the Levites, those who perform sacred services, eat the food of the temple. So also, the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. Soon, our graduates, a number of them, will be receiving their first calls. They'll be going to a place where God has called them to. And there may be a question, not just where they are first serving, but in people's eyes. What makes that man credible? And I thank God that we here at the seminary can study His Word, that we too can graduate, and we can preach the gospel. But yet, what would you say to a person who comes to you, one of your parishioners, and says, Pastor, what makes you reliable? Well, you could say, well, you know, come to my office. I've got this diploma up there from the seminary. I really want to show it to you. And my class picture of all my classmates. And yet I even have a banner that shows that I was ordained. We could do those things. We could say, as Paul did, I've seen the Lord. That was his credibility. Our graduation is ours in our world today. But yet Paul even forsook his office, even forsook the pay he could have received from the Corinthians in saying, I don't even have need of any of these things, that which you could pay me. He says, for it's better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. Credibility as ministers. Does it lie in our office? Can we say, I'm a pastor, you should listen to me? They had problems, I believe, listening to Paul. So he focused upon his credibility as one who proclaimed the gospel. He said this, for even though I preach the gospel, I still have nothing to boast of, for I'm simply under compulsion. In other words, he must proclaim the gospel. And that's where his credibility lies. He knew that he was to speak the good news to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, and to the foolish. And how many of us, not just here now in this place, but also as we serve in the field, will look upon someone and say, you know, that person's from another culture. It's really hard for me to reach out to them. I'm uncomfortable. There's a barrier there, but I know I must preach the gospel. How many of us will look at others and say, that person's really barbaric. And how many of us will know that we must preach the gospel to those who are wiser than we, be it if it's in a field that we have nothing, we know nothing about, or maybe they have a PhD in another level that we are ignorant of. And yet we are also to speak to the foolish, those who simply have that childlike faith, that trust upon their Lord and Savior. We're under compulsion to proclaim the gospel. And Paul makes a tremendous statement here. He says, "For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." He uses that word not just saying, "Oh, poor is me." But Paul says, "Let God's punishment come upon me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do not preach it to all people, regardless of their race, regardless of their position, regardless if I agree with them or not. I must proclaim that word." And he says, if I do this because I want to, I have my reward. But if I don't do it, if I do it even grudgingly, I still have a stewardship entrusted to me. I still must proclaim. Recently, I was able to meet a pastor, a man who was in his 80s. And as I spoke with him, he shared with me what life was like being a pastor during the days of the Depression. He said, "You know, my pay actually came from what was collected during the offerings that day. Those men who collected it would bring it back and say, 'Pastor, here it is. Here's what we can give you.'" And he said that he never had to go hungry. He said that God provided for all of his needs. But I wonder for us, as we examine that first call, as my classmates and I did, and we look at, well, are they going to pay our Concordia plan? What's our salary like? And we call that talking nickels and noses. How many people am I going to minister to? What kind of parsonage are they going to have? Or am I going to have to buy my own house? I wonder what we would do in our day of need in our economy if all of that was taken away from us. If we were only given, as that pastor was, just what was gathered on Sunday morning. We must proclaim the gospel, regardless of the support of people, be it those who support us as their pastor, and regardless of our pay. And what is our goal as we seek to be credible pastors? That we may preach the gospel, that when we preach it, we may offer it without charge. That when we proclaim God's word, we put no hooks upon it, we put no demands of law, but we preach it in its purest sense. Christ died for your sins. He wants to free you from that punishment, and he has. And it will be difficult for us to proclaim that to someone who we just doesn't feel is really acting as a Christian should. That person may not be in attendance at Sunday morning worship as often as we think they should be. It may not be in active Bible study. And they may actually have a gripe against us. It may not be a gripe in some kind of doctrine, but just because they disagree with us as individuals, we still must proclaim that gospel to them. That is our goal. To offer the gospel without any kind of charge, without any kind of cost or hooks. Because we must use our power and authority in a right way. Paul knew he carried a lot of weight, even though the Corinthians disagreed with him, even though they had problems with his credibility. And as a pastor, you're going to be in a position of authority, be it over people, or be it in a position of prestige whereby many people look up to you. We still must simply make our goal this, that we preach the gospel without charge. What then is our reward for doing all of this? And I can't help once again but think of that pastor. It was the fourth time he was called out of retirement. For what reason? Simply because someone, a congregation, needed someone to proclaim the gospel to them. And in his 80s, in the midst of all the hard economic times he went through, his reward was not a fantastic financial package whereby he could retire in one of our sun states. But yet, he could say that he proclaimed the gospel. I believe that that is our goal. That is our reward. So may we pray that the Holy Spirit may encourage us, that we may preach the gospel always, that we may feel obliged to do that under compulsion, that we may proclaim it with or without support from people, with or without any kind of pay. And may we preach it without any kind of cost, without any kind of hooks of law. It's not easy, but God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us to do this. May he evermore do that for us. Amen.